This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. An old warehouse on Kalamazoo's east side includes a wood shop, welding station, several 3D printers, and more. Kazoo Makers helps people with the equipment to create and meet others with the same interest. Teresa Cody O'Neill is project editor for Southwest Michigan's Second Wave On the Ground Kalamazoo, which now features stories from the east side neighborhood. Al Holloway is technical resources manager at the Air Zoo and also one of the founding members of Kazoo Makers. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you, Gordon.
Teresa, I'll start with you. How did you find this building on East Michigan Avenue and, as you say in the story, the treasures within?
Well, we had an editorial advisory meeting, and Kazoo Makers was something that everyone mentioned as something that really needed to be covered on the east side. I remember reading stories about it probably a couple of years ago. And but since then, I hadn't really heard how it had developed or what was going on there. So I was really curious to find out.
Al, how did Kazoo Makers start?
It evolved out of a group of makers here in town called the Makers Guild, which was originally just kind of a loose organization, not really formal. People who liked to make things would gather together once a month, show their projects, talk about their projects. Maybe if they hit a sticking point, they'd ask for advice. We attended a meeting hosted by Mayor Hopewell when he had just come back from Washington to see the Maker Faire in Washington, D.C., and there was enough community interest that we evolved into a group, and we established a nonprofit and founded the Makerspace.
And this is part of what we would call the Makers Movement, is that right?
Yes. My interest in it initially came from reading something called Make Magazine, which is published by the Make organization. Dale Doherty was the founder of that, and began searching for Kalamazoo area for a makerspace to get involved with, and there was not one. And that's when I found the Makers Guild. They didn't have any kind of formal organization, so we formed one and began looking for a building.
And you found this building on East Michigan Avenue. How is it that this fits what you wanted to do? What does this building have that maybe others don't?
We were looking for a location that was accessible to bus lines and kind of centrally located so that we didn't isolate it from part of the community. We wanted to be involved and embedded in part of the community where people could get to us. We were looking for a building that had sufficient electrical power, heating and air conditioning, and of course we need some level of parking. Mostly we need floor space. And over a two-year period, we had seen buildings all over town in various states of disrepair and had very little money. So we happened to meet the owner of the building, who was very, very friendly to our goals, had this building and wanted somebody to be in it. And so we stepped up. And he's been very helpful and very, very friendly to us in terms of leasing costs and various things like that.
What sort of equipment is available to people that, you know, is maybe just a little bit, not generally the sort of thing that you know, the regular everyday person has the opportunity to get their hands on?
Oh, sure. We have a full woodworking shop, and the equipment is generally at a more industrial level than the actual homeowner equipment would be. We have a big emphasis on safety, so we have safety systems on those woodworking machines that might not be available to the average homeowner. Metal shop, metalworking equipment is pretty expensive for the average user. Welding equipment is generally within reach at the low end. We try to get more industrial type equipment so that it can be used for heavier projects if needed. We have laser printing and, or not printing, laser engraving, laser cutting. The machines we have higher power than most small units that homeowners would get. We have a number of 3D printers in various levels. So we have beginning level machines and more advanced machines. We have an electronics lab. We have a crafting area where people can do fiber arts and various things of that sort. And then meeting space and certain amount of storage and things for the members to take advantage of.
So, Teresa, you talked to some of the people who take part here, who use this equipment. What did you find they had in common? Did you find some things that were sort of similar traits that most of these people had?
Yeah, I would say what struck me right away, one of the first people I met was Scott Cleveland. He, just a sort of enthusiasm and curiosity and just about how things work, how you put them together, what can you make if you put this with this. I also talked to Stacy Belinsky, and she was taking, they have a fiber arts room too, and so she was taking a fiber arts class where she was learning different stitches, making a sort of tapestry, then putting it together with an electrical circuit that was like a balloon scene from a picture she had taken. But just the amazing way that it seemed like the people that I met would take ideas from one sphere and then sort of combine them to another sphere and make something totally new. So yeah, it just seems like that hacker mentality, it's contagious, but it's also like, it's really, it just has this really wonderful spirit about it.
Were most of these people who you talked to, and Al, you might also answer this as well, are they people who are hobbyists? Is this a hobby that they devote a lot of time to? Yeah. Are there people who are either starting or thinking of starting a business by making something out of what they have in this warehouse?
Yeah, most of the people that I talked to either had jobs that were already sort of working with their hands or their minds in some capacity, engineering capacity, or Scott Cleveland, for instance, is a contractor. But, you know, he's doing the same thing. This is how he talked to me about it, you know, fixing the same bathrooms over and over again and that kind of thing. And he wanted to do something more, you know, to get out of that realm of and apply that sort of ingenuity and creativity and putting things together in a different way. So he's actually making some of his own tools now, which is pretty cool. To be able to do, to have like the capacity to do that.
And that's really something that sometimes gets overlooked in talking about the makerspace. There's a lot of emphasis on the facility and the tools. But what really makes the makerspace work is the people that are there. So if you come down to the makerspace and you become a member and you want to work on a particular project you have in mind, and you don't know how to do the electronics, or you don't know how to do the woodworking part, or maybe you need something welded and you've never done welding, there's somebody there that can either help you with it or tell you how to do it, show you how to do it, and you can get your hands on the equipment and actually learn a skill that will forward your project and also expand your capabilities. So that's one of the things that we emphasize down there is the people.
Right, and not just coming into this space and working by yourself, but working in there with a lot of other people. Does it almost become, to use a new phrase, an incubator that where people can sort of, you know, take their talents and maybe share them a little bit?
Of a sort, yeah. We kind of are careful about using the word incubator because people imply a lot of business-related services when you say that. We have connections in that area, but it's not our primary focus. Our focus is on doing and creating.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. I'm speaking with Al Holloway. He's one of the founders of KZU Makers. It's the subject of a story that is part of Southwest Michigan's second wave on-the-ground Kalamazoo series for the East Side neighborhood. We're also joined by Teresa Cody O'Neill, project editor for On the Ground Kalamazoo. Is KZU Makers nonprofit?
Yes. We have a nonprofit set up called Kalamazoo Innovation Initiative, and we are the financial end of keeping the makerspace alive. Donations of equipment and hopefully funding come to the KII, and then we transfer that directly to the makerspace.
What are the requirements if someone did want to get involved and get a membership and use this space? What do they have to do?
Show up. Be interested, be willing to be part of the community. We have very few requirements for members. Primarily, the requirement for membership down there is that you're willing to be involved and that you will commit to respect everyone and everything there.
Is there a fee?
There is. Memberships vary. You can buy them monthly, semi-annually, or annually. You can get day passes. You can get guest passes if you're a member and you want to bring someone in with you. We do have some limits on age. Children under 18 typically need to be with an adult, particularly in using machinery that could be potentially dangerous. But everyone that uses a machine there has to go through our training class and be signed off by the zone leader for that particular type of equipment before they're allowed to operate it.
But you do then provide training if someone has never used a certain machine. I mean, can someone get up to speed that way, or should they come in with a certain level of know-how and maybe a little experience?
Experience is helpful, but if you have zero experience, there's someone there that can take you through how to safely operate a piece of equipment. And then once you have satisfied the zone leader's requirements for safety, that you're not going to injure yourself or damage the machinery, then you can find out about more advanced techniques and progress your skills from there. But we can take someone with very little exposure to woodworking, for example, and they can work there, work on projects that improve their skills and abilities, and become pretty proficient.
What's the demand? I mean, do you find that you've got more people than you can handle right now, or, you know, is there still space?
There's plenty of space. One of the problems we have is letting people know that we exist. Once people find out about us, they're generally pretty enthusiastic, and most are eager to become involved. Programs like this could help us considerably in that area.
Do you see people there who you think will eventually sort of take what they're learning or maybe some of the know-how that they are gaining by talking to other people and taking this out, launching a business, seeing if they can make a go of it in the market?
There are a few of our members who are actively working on products that they hope to develop into a marketable end product. I have, or we have members that are making items that they sell on websites such as Etsy. Right now, we have jewelry being manufactured and sold out of there. As a personal business, one of our members is doing that, and they use our facility. They use the laser cutter and various things to make their products. And that's perfectly fine with us.
Teresa, what were some big takeaways that you had after spending some time with Al, some of the other people who founded KZoo Makers, as well as the people who are showing up and making things?
Yeah, as a writer, I always love discovering a new sort of subculture. And for the East Side in particular, I loved this sort of energy here in this spot where really you're just kind of starting to go into the East Side from downtown. Because I think that's the kind of energy the East Side needs right now. You know, they're sort of poised to, they want to develop that East Main corridor, and there's some other good things happening that are foundational. So, yeah, so going to see, having that be one of the first stories, the KZoo Makerspace, just kind of opened up my eyes to, like, just the exciting possibilities of what happens when people who are like-minded get together and start trading, you know, their sort of expertise and their enthusiasm.
What are some other stories that people might find on the website now or perhaps in the near future regarding the East Side?
Yeah, the East Side has been all the neighborhoods have been great in different ways. The East Side, I wasn't sure at first because it's smaller. Edison was 10,000. North Side was like 5 to 6, and this is like under 3,000. But the people that are kind of coming out of the woodwork are really interesting. I interviewed James Palmore a couple of weeks ago. He's a longtime artist in the area, and it was fascinating to sit down and talk to him. And that article was published last week. I met a woman, and this was purely by accident, at something in the North Side who has a mobile hygienist dental unit and did a story story on her. And we're just starting. You know, I think one of the exciting things for me about the East Side is that a lot of things going on there really haven't been written about. So it's sort of new territory. And we're working on a story right now about East Side Youth Strong, which I think a lot of people have either never heard of or don't really know what it is. So,
Teresa Cody O'Neill is project editor for Southwest Michigan's Second Wave On the Ground Kalamazoo. Al Holloway is technical resources manager at the Air Zoo and one of the founding members of KZoo Makers. Thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
The story on KZoo Makers is part of the On the Ground project for Kalamazoo's East Side neighborhood. Those stories can be found at secondwavemedia.com, and also links are available at WMUK.org. You can subscribe to WMUK's West Southwest podcast through Apple iTunes and Google. There you can leave a rating and write a review, which helps other people discover the podcast. You can also find interviews at our website, WMUK.org, and through the WMUK app. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.